We come now to our reading, and Karen's going to come forward and bring our reading to us this morning. It's Romans 6. Thank you, Karen.
Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 23, and this is titled, Sin's Power is Broken. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when you were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that you became the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God. Once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I am using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led even deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become holy. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord.
So it's good to be here. Good to be here this morning. I've already been introduced as your regional minister for Eastern Baptist Association, or EBA for short. For those of you that don't know much about EBA, we cover Baptist churches in Norfolk, Suffolk, Essex and Cambridgeshire. And my focus is the churches here in Cambridgeshire. And on the 30th of September, EBA had an annual gathering, and it was entitled God at Work. It was using the theme that the National Baptist Union, of which EBA is one of 13 associations that are a part of it, had issued a booklet to Baptist Magazine with that theme of God at Work, with lots of stories from across Britain of Baptist churches seeing God at work. So on the 30th of September, we were in a church in Ipswich, and we were hearing all sorts of stories of God at work, from a church in Gamlingay in Cambridgeshire, to a church Norton in Suffolk, as well as chaplains, a mental health chaplain, a university chaplain, myself, in that case, it's my story, and also a minister that is working in a community centre that's also doing chaplaincy work. So it was really interesting to me, thinking about God being at work, to consider my invitation to preach this morning at Bluntisham Baptist Church. And the theme I was given was, believer's baptism, is it really such a big deal? Now, here's the interesting thing, thinking about God being at work. Today is the 22nd of October. 23 years to the day I was baptized. Now, no one would have known that when they asked me to preach here. So there is definitely a sense of God being at work. And for me, it's a privilege to celebrate my baptism birthday here with you today. I can't say that I have any lovely photos to show you from the day. Hence, there are no PowerPoints with wonderful photos of that day. There were about two photos taken, and the quality was really very poor. I didn't have a big celebration after my baptism either. It was just my sister and I, and we went, I was living in London at the time, I'm originally from Birmingham, we went to the local Nando's, and we had lunch together. That was it. That was my baptism day. And I could have had no idea back then what I'd be doing 23 years on. Now I can say, despite the lack of photos, despite the big celebration, undergoing baptism, believer's baptism, more specifically, on that day, 23 years ago, was a big deal for me. That day, today, every day, the rest of my life. And so it's my privilege this morning to dig a little into Romans chapter 6, some of the verses there, which gives us some of the context, perhaps, of why my baptism has proven to be such a big deal for me, and believer's baptism has proven to be such a big deal for many others. Many people that came before me have come after me and are yet to come after me in the future. And so in the book of Romans, we are hearing from Paul. Paul, as an apostle, one of Christ's disciples, called to what we might describe as a translocal ministry. So he wasn't pastoring one local church, except that he was going from place to place, helping to establish new congregations and helping to nurture, look after ones that were already established. But definitely someone on the move, traveling from context to context. The book of Romans, as we now know it, he's writing to a Christian community in Rome, a community he hasn't yet met, and he's setting out the kind of teaching he often offered local congregations on how to live as a community of Christ's disciples, seeking to follow the way of Christ. And it's verses 3 and 4 in our reading, Romans 6, that really speak quite particularly to the concept of believers' baptism. I remind us of them. Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may have life. We may also live new lives even. So as I hear those verses and think of my baptism back in the year 2000, me being a 21st century Christian, literally, I think about the actual going under the water. If you think of the full immersion baptism that we practice, I think of going under the water. But I also think of before that, giving my testimony. So my story of what had taken me to the point of saying yes to believer's baptism by this full immersion, which can seem quite scary beforehand, but isn't at all. A wonderful experience, especially if the water is warm, which it was in my case. But it was at that point of making that, or giving that testimony, that I was making my very public commitment of faith in Christ as my saviour and ruler of my life, and that commitment to follow Christ's ways. And as I went into that water and was beneath that water and came out from that water, I felt God's presence and blessing. Even to this day, I can remember it. And as we were singing songs earlier, I found myself almost back in that moment and actually feeling quite emotional. Just remembering how my life changed that day in ways I could never have imagined. And so it's that act of baptism, as Romans 6 point out, It signified for me the end of my old life and of being born again to new life in Christ. It spoke of my repentance and cleansing, of being united with Christ in his death and resurrection, and of witnessing to the call of God upon my life. It was huge, and I had no idea back then how huge it was. But that sense of feeling a closeness to Christ like I hadn't felt before was extraordinary. And I was very emotional. I remember crying a lot of the time. And I'm not really someone that cries. I'm not a crier. But I just remember uncontrollably crying. I was just so filled with emotion, that sense of being close to God in a way I'd never felt before. I also remember the promises that I made after I had gone under and I was up. I remember the promise I made before I went under and before I was up. The promises where the minister at the time asked me a number of questions. I'm sure a number of you are familiar with them, about accepting Christ as my Lord and Saviour, and seeing the church I was at as the place God was calling me to serve in, and committing to a life of God's service. It was all about receiving God's Spirit for service in the church and the world. And I remember making those promises, and it felt very special. I'm not sure I knew what I was signing up to fully, but it felt very special. And it was, as I say, a truly blessed day. But you might be thinking, why did I do it? Why did I do it? Many people, especially people who haven't done it, think, why does anyone sign up to baptism? What is it about, believer's baptism? For me, I remember through my classes of preparation before baptism, one of the things that really stood out for me was that in Scripture, in the Bible, it's clear that it was something that was practiced by Christ's disciples in the early church. And I felt it was something I should do. To find or to define this newfound commitment I was finding for the first time in my life to wholeheartedly follow the way of Christ. I also noted that Jesus himself was baptized, in his case by John the Baptist, as we read about it in Matthew, Mark and Luke's gospel. I also remember reflecting that Jesus tells his disciples, tells us to be baptized. The well-known verses in Matthew 28 that we often refer to as the Great Commission. Jesus is saying, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. There's a consistency here. Jesus himself was baptized. Jesus tells us, those that are his followers, to be involved in the process of baptizing others. And then the day of Pentecost that we read about in the book of Acts, where Peter, one of Christ's disciples, says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Believer's baptism is incredibly scriptural. It is there, clear as day. And I remember going through those baptism preparation classes, just how much sense it made to me as a way of declaring, as I say, this newfound faith that I had in Christ. My life was changing, and it began to change even more. And so what did this new beginning turn out to be like for me? Back to Romans 6 and our reading and the relevance of its words in verses 12 to 13 in particular. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. That's what my life became all about, doing God's will. It wasn't about what I wanted anymore. It was about how do I serve God and God's people in ways that God was calling me to. And so for me, at the heart of what was this new life after baptism was very much about seeking to grow in Christ-like ways, seeking to glorify God. And again, I'm not going to give you all the details of my story and journey because it's not about me. But that was the focus of my life, trying to be an example to others. It was interesting, a year after I was baptized, my sister was baptized. The changes she saw in me as a person inspired her to take that step. She's still a Christian to this day also. We walk very closely together. It was about, as I say, trying to be an example in seeking to glorify God. I wasn't perfect, none of us is, but seeking each day to become more Christ-like in thoughts, in words and actions was the pathway I had taken and continue to take. It was all about, and is still all about, glorifying God. That I always understood as the platform from which to help others find that new beginning, that new life for themselves through believers' baptism. And being faithful in seeking to grow in their Christ-likeness every day also. I think one of the challenges when we think about baptism is sometimes we focus on the day. Some people might say it's a bit like marriage and weddings. Sometimes there's so much focus on the day and not the life that follows. And it's also sometimes when people talk about their testimonies, so much is about the point at which they come to faith and not the journey that has followed. It's the journey that follows that is so important. That's what we're signing up to. A great day to mark it, absolutely. Anniversaries to mark it thereafter, great. But it's the journey. That's what we're signing up to, and that's where the real blessing is. And that's where, for me, and I think God challenges us, all of us, to think about the significance of searching the scriptures to understand how we live that journey, embrace that journey, and share it with others. There will have been verses, texts in the Bible along the way, stories that have been significant to me and to others, helping us along that way. When I was here a few months ago for your church members meeting, I talked about Matthew 10. And that's often known as the missionary text because I had just come back from Norway, where that had been the focal point during my time there. And that has been a significant verse for me and for many others. I said then and I say now, where Jesus instructs his apostles, his disciples, to go and announce to those that are lost, those that aren't Christ's disciples, that the kingdom of heaven is near, telling them to heal the sick, raise the dead, to cure leprosy, cast out demons, give as freely as they receive. But interestingly, he also tells them, don't take any money in your money belts, no gold, silver, or even copper coins. Don't carry a traveler's bag with change of clothes and sandals, or even a walking stick. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve to be fed. Those verses have spoken to me time and time again about being willing to come out of my comfort zone and to travel and meet people where they are at, people that don't yet know Christ, and to hold any possessions, worldly goods I have been blessed with by God lightly, as I may be called to leave them behind and take up residence elsewhere. What has my journey looked like in the last 23 years? It started in London. I was there for almost 10 years in that church that I came to faith in. And I didn't move particularly far outside that area. I lived fairly locally. I was certainly into some areas of South London where I was, some of the estates, which were quite tough, quite rough at times. That was part of my journey. It moved me back to Birmingham briefly from my home city and working with churches there. And then from Birmingham to Cambridge, and now from Cambridge to Ely and the ministry I do now. I've had to leave things behind. I've had to leave people behind. But that following Christ, God's call on my life and where it's taken to me, I've never had any regrets. It's always been the best place to be. the pathway of following Christ. There is no better pathway. Luke chapter 4 and those verses around 18 to 19 referred to as Jesus' manifesto have been significant to me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favour has come. Words that have inspired me to have the same heart for justice that God has, which has sent me on all sorts of journeys to better understand and respond to injustice here at home, in the UK and abroad. Some of those trips, I've been to places like Ghana. I've been to Istanbul. I've been to different parts of the USA. I've been to South Africa. And in January next year, God willing, I will be in Vellore, South India. All of this going where God is calling me to learn more of God's heart for God's people who are encountering, experiencing inequality and injustice all over the world. All of this following through from that journey of baptism. As I say, I wouldn't have had a clue 23 years ago. That would have been the story. That would have been the journey. So I go back to the question that I was asked, is believer's baptism a big deal? I would say an emphatic yes. As I reflect on my 23-year journey from that time. The going under the waters, the coming up, and being with Christ. That association with death and resurrection. The feeling of God's presence, the Holy Spirit within me at work, and now enabling me to grow in Christ-likeness and serve God. An extraordinary moment. The testimony before the physical baptism, declaring my faith. The promises that came as I, before I entered the water as to what was come. All of those things coming together and having significance. As many have said, best decision I've ever made. To be baptized and to seek to follow through on the commitments I made back then to God, to come and follow Christ's ways from that day and every day until eternity. And so I wonder, what does God have to say to Bluntisham Baptist Church as you ponder all of this? Well, if you've not been baptized, I wonder if God is calling you to be baptized. I guess that's the first question. And I'm sure there are many here who will be joining that call with me. If you have been baptized, where are you on your journey? Where are you? Thinking about the promises you made back then. How are you doing? Your own personal walk, but also how are you doing in terms of supporting and encouraging others along their journey as to the commitments they made, but also in terms of helping others make the commitment if they haven't yet. Where are you on that journey? You have a wonderful building and the baptistry hidden neatly and nicely under this flooring. I wonder when it will next be opened. I wonder some of the connections you're making in this wonderful village and further afield, wherever you're working, studying. I wonder, how will you share your story of believer's baptism? The impact it has made on you, whether that was a year ago, 23 years ago, or for those of you that it's longer than that. Are you still filled with the joy and excitement that you were blessed with that day, that sense of closeness to Christ? What might remind you of that if it's been a long time since you thought about it? Can you remember, can you think of lives that you've touched along the way? Very few of us can point to a single person where we say, we spoke the words or we preached the sermon that led to this person being baptized. But I think many, if not all of us that have been baptized, have sown seeds, have spoken some words that have formed part of the journey that has led to that baptism. I often say, for me, my Sunday school teachers years ago have no idea, some of them, the journey I've been on, no idea as to the significance. From my days as a youth worker, I have only subsequently found the impact I've had. I mean, sometimes I've met young people, not young anymore, they're adults, and they've said, when I said this or did this, it had such a profound effect on them. I had no idea. Part of the journey, God at work, piecing these things together, making a difference. What I do now as a regional minister, as an ecumenical chaplain, canon even, at Ely Cathedral, or as a chaplain at Anglia Ruskin University on their Cambridge campus. Sowing seeds, making a difference. I have no idea the impact I'm having sometimes. But I know that my call each and every day when I wake up is to be faithful in seeking to serve God. To declare what I know of, what I've experienced of Christ, God at work in my lives and others. Trusting that God will do the rest. And so my prayer very much for you as a church is that each of you will play a part in helping many others take that journey to believer's baptism and the journey that follows it, seeking to become more Christ-like each and every day in thought, word and action. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.